That is my favorite part of this entire situation.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to build it. Yeah. We don't think it's going to work.
They're not going
to
come.
Right. Yeah. We're going to do it anyway.
Yeah. The last, I thought, man, this is the last time I'm going to agree to something when I'm drinking, which is wrong, but it'll happen again.
And welcome in to season 5, episode 4 of Unstable Discourse.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Does it sound different? Probably.
Probably.
It might.
It's got an ambiance.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I can hear it in the headphones.
It feels different. That's for sure. We're coming to you live today from a very different place. We are not at Callahan Acres Barn, our basement. We're in a different barn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in a different...
Very different barn. A very amazingly cool, can't say enough awesome things about this barn.
Yeah. This barn's got a barn.
You got barn envy?
I feel like I'm in like barn church.
That's
if there is a thing, such a thing as barn church, we're in it right now.
We are in McLeansboro, Illinois. We're on the road. We came down to play Fox Prairie Disc Golf Course, and we are at the Halley Family Barn. How do we describe where we are, guys?
That's a good job. Halley Family Barn.
With Aaron and Reagan Halley. You guys, well, the way we usually introduce ourselves is I'm Alex Seminary from Tailwind Media, Sean Callahan of Delwood Disc Golf.
Yes, sir.
Ryan Fancher of Unstable Disc Golf Gear.
Yes, sir.
Jason Callahan of Bag of Tricks Entertainment.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And we have Reagan and Aaron Halley of Fox Prairie Disc Golf Course. Is that a fair way to introduce you guys?
Yeah.
Sure.
Is there anything else on your titles or credentials that people should know? If they're a disc golfer, what else should they maybe know?
Have you been knighted, maybe, or?
Unfortunately, no. Not.
No. Okay. Right on.
My DG, worth a shot.
We have no DG credentials really at all.
Aside from designing one of the most impressive disc golf courses
in
Illinois.
In a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to
maybe, I don't know. I think I might be knighting you guys before we leave. So.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
sure
why you
Chris
brought that
sword.
This whole time.
Chris has got a sword.
Why is there a sword in the back of the van?
Oh, yeah. And we didn't introduce my brother, Chris. This is his barn.
Yeah. That's right. That's so where I got confused on the intro because that's right. So, Chris Halley, this is his barn. We're on his property. Mm-hmm. We stayed here last night and we got hosted better than
the mosted.
Ever. Hosted the mosted. Yes. we got to meet the baby cow. We got you guys grilled for us.
Yeah.
Awesome food.
Very cool loft apartment where half of us slept. You guys got to sleep in a horse trailer.
Yes, we did.
Which doesn't sound like it could be that appealing.
Jason and Alex in a horse trailer. Was
the way you were saying that was like there was going to be a horse joke in there somewhere.
No,
I was waiting for a horse punchline. But
no, I'm just saying like you think of a horse trailer and it's hay and horse shit. And it was not.
No.
Yeah.
No, it was not that. It smelled really nice in our room, actually.
Yeah.
No. Despite Jason's best efforts.
Yeah, I was really... Me and Alex trapped in a small space. I was going for it.
I thought it was going to be very farty and snory in there. And neither.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good. Sounded good. Smelled good.
I don't believe either of those things.
But it was snarty and farty.
Yeah.
All right. So we're here. We're being hosted. We're having this awesome getaway. And we came down to play the course that you guys designed. And it also just so happened to be the perfect day to see the eclipse. So this trip has been unbelievable.
In the perfect place to see the eclipse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get into it, but we had some really fun timing things going on.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what we want to hear, what we're going to cover on this episode is sort of how you guys put this course in the ground, what the process was like, and just want to hear you guys talk about this project so people outside of this area know there's something really, really cool happening down here and that they should come check it out. Before we get to that, we're going to get through a segment we like to call Fired Up.
Fired Up.
Oh, there you go. You thought about that.
That
one.
Was good.
I did think about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He usually,
that wasn't off the cuff.
It's off the cuff, but no.
Yeah.
All right. Since you've been thinking about it, Sean, what are you fired up about?
Well, I got to say the last 48 hours for me has been eye-opening. I have experienced a very, very cool disc golf course put in the ground by people that are incredibly humble about the situation, and they have invited us into their home. I mean, I'm almost speechless, like almost to tears. It has been a very cool couple of days. We've got to get to know a couple of amazing people. Like I am just so happy.
Which ones
to be,
were the cool ones?
Yeah. The, Aaron and his wife, Jackie, and Chris, and just this whole situation,
Chris is okay.
Greg and everybody, the food, the hanging out, the grilling, just everything. I'm just about speechless.
Yeah.
It's a good way to put it.
Yep.
Ryan, what are you fired up about?
I think it was just the timing of everything. We talk a big game when it comes to trying to plan stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you always think, okay, well, is it actually going to go as planned? And, you know, you don't want to think what's going to go wrong, but you consider the possibilities. And now for the second time, we've done these on-location shoots. And this one has even exceeded the last one when we went to Idlewild. But that one was kind of serendipitous. And I don't know what that makes this one, but it was... just the timing of everything, leaving on Sunday night after Fraction Run and having that work, staying where we did, didn't run into traffic. We thought everything and anything could go wrong, and everything has just been absolutely perfect. And again, I'm speechless. It's
also mixed with like jet lag.
A little.
Because we went from running a flex all day on Friday and then Fraction Run Cup on Saturday and Sunday and then leaving the night of an hour later after finishing Fraction Run Cup, staying in a hotel,
right?
You know, waking up and then coming down here and then playing the course, and
in an
amazing way. But it feels like holy cow, my head is spinning, but in a fantastic way.
Yeah,
very well said, Jason.
Yes, sir.
What are you fired up about?
I'm going to take the obvious route. I'm going to go with the eclipse yesterday. Mm-hmm. I am so happy. Everybody knows that I'm kind of a space geek, and the fact that all this timed out in a way that I was able to be in McLeansboro yesterday while it was one of the spots on the path of totality that I was there. I was sitting on a concrete tee pad, just staring up at the sun slowly disappearing yesterday. It was unbelievable. There was a point where I did tear up because it was just like, it was so beautiful to be there on that big open field and see everything happening above us. And
it was very funny. Alex was turning and he was like, I don't know, it was about halfway to totality. And he was like, I thought it would be like darker, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, just wait a minute. And then, you know, there's still a sliver left and you're like, it's still kind of light outside. And then all of a sudden it is midnight.
Yeah.
And I was like,
dark
that,
enough now?
Is that good?
Yeah.
Are you
good?
That's what I was waiting for. Yeah. I thought in my mind, I was like, everybody hyped this thing up way too much. And then all of a sudden it got dark and I was like, okay, I get it. That's what we're here for.
Yep.
So one other thing that I'm sure Jason will talk about too, but that we saw and we didn't know was going to exist until we were seeing it. And Lauren Lakeberg and Chris were there with us. They made the trip down. And looking at the tee pad and the open field, there were little waves of light and dark that were pulsating.
Like rippling across the field.
And obviously Lauren pointed it out and we're like, okay, Lauren, you know, you are one with the universe. You're seeing things that we're not. We get it. Yeah. We understand. But we were all seeing it. And then we looked it up and I can't remember what they were called.
Gravitational waves.
Gravitational waves that were like, that are, I would assume, like kind of always there, but were visible only because of the eclipse and the way that the sun was behind the moon. And you could see that it was bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Reagan, I know you were in a different spot watching the eclipse. Did you see those little waves as well?
A little bit, but not, it was not something that I like actively looked for.
Sure. You guys were also in a different state of mind than we were at that time.
We were having a lot of fun.
Yeah. You guys went the opposite route. We laid down in a field and it was dead silent. And we were like, let's just soak in this moment. And you guys were partying.
Oh yeah. We had a lot of fun. We were lighting off fireworks in the middle of the eclipse.
That's awesome.
That's the other way to do it, right?
Yeah.
I just picture in Independence Day where there's that party on the rooftop and they're all like, take me!
This is the Los Angeles Police Department. Please vacate the premises immediately for your own safety.
I will give you a big shout out, Jason, for putting together the Eclipse playlist.
Ooh, yeah.
While we were laying there.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
On our backs in the grass, just looking up at the sky, having this moment, literally playing songs like, you know, with the title Staring at the Sun. They're singing about staring at the sun while we're just laying there having this moment.
Give us
much like we were in a movie.
Give us a rundown of some of those.
I had songs such as Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves.
Sure.
Anna Sun by Walk the Moon. See, I had Sunny Hours by Long Beach Dub All Stars and Will I Am. Then I also had Steal My Sunshine by Len.
That was the
get it.
That's the one. I know it's over for
me. It's still my sunshine. I had Staring at the Sun by U2 on there because we were all staring at the sun. I'm not the only one. I had No Sunlight by Death Cab for Cutie on there. There was no sunlight, no sunlight. Here Comes the Sun at the end by the Beatles. Here comes the sun. So when the moon would pass and the sun
started. Did you put that at the end of the playlist or towards the end?
Did you just meet me? Of course I did. Yes. This was all planned. And then I also had Black Hole Sun, obviously, to play during the totality as well. Black
Hole Sun. And we did play Total Eclipse of the Heart earlier.
Earlier, yeah. Once upon a time there was light in my life,
but now there's only love in the dark. I mean, it was a little cliche. Joke.
That was more for like
When
we sat down at the bench and there was other people that were playing through.
Yeah.
I wanted to make them laugh that we were listening to that.
Yeah.
Musically, the best point of this trip was when we were playing that, whatever that Native American type dance song is, whatever that, I don't know what
that's called. Return to Innocence by Enigma.
That, while you were dancing, was
I was special. Doing my best.
Yeah.
I was doing my best. You guys liked it, and so I kept doing it. Enigma.
I think it was slightly insensitive, but it was still a fun dance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Meant with all the love.
Yeah.
And the headdress was a bit much, but the dancing was good.
Who's next? Aaron, what are you fired up about at the moment?
I like the playlist. We had a couple on there. One of them we had on there was Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone.
Ain't no sunshine when she's
gone. And Hello Darkness, My Old Friend.
Come on. Yes.
Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Wow.
Yeah, nailed
you
it.
You can go on and on with those.
Yeah, that was good.
That's a good one.
Missing classics.
Yeah. Yep. In another 7 years, I'll have this playlist mastered.
We'll
do it again.
We'll come back.
Yeah. Paint It Black was also on our playlist.
Yeah.
Well done.
Stones,
Well done. I see a rector and I
want it painted black. So many missed opportunities. Is Walking on the Sun, is that slightly off, isn't it?
No, it's fine.
I played it at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Reagan, what are you fired up about?
I'm fired up that you guys are here. I truly did not think that this disc golf course would turn into what it was. I thought we'd just kind of throw some baskets out in the woods, maybe have some nice walking trails, but I'm truly honored and very excited for what it's turned into.
That is cool to hear because I think I said this to you yesterday, Aaron. I think you guys are just at the tip of the iceberg of what this thing is.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Since you've made something it's so well done and clearly people are coming from far away because they want to experience it. It's not going to get smaller. Like the attraction and the interest and what it's going to mean to people, I think is only going to keep getting bigger. So buckle up. I think it's only going to get bigger.
Yeah. And we've talked about it before and I know we'll get into it, but like Sean has talked about at Delwood, it's ever evolving. That's his approach to it. There is no end to what Delwood is. And I feel like you guys kind of have that same attitude towards Fox Prairie. You're like, you're not done. You know, it's only just begun for you guys. I think that's going to be exciting to see what it is.
Yeah, I can already tell with just having the conversations I've had with Aaron that, like Alex just said, buckle up. The list never gets smaller. It's just always going to be something that you're going to be adding to the course. And I'm excited to have seen it at this point, and I'm going to be so excited to see it in 5 and 10. You know,
yeah.
I mean, Delwood's been on the ground for 10 years this September. So,
and he can't stop messing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're always going to be messing with it. Yeah. And I can't wait to watch.
Critics always annoy you, you know, when you get criticized for something, but they're actually the best help for designing something, you know.
Oh, sure.
So I put on there, we should have had some more chips behind some of the longer blues. Well, he's exactly right once you look at it. Yeah, we've got a huge pile of chips. Just dump them back there. You know, it's easy work to do, but it affects how some people throw. And it's like stuff we don't think of. So that the critics actually help way more than what you just don't get offended by it and listen to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Right.
We don't think about that because we can't throw that far.
Yeah, exactly. We're not back there.
Not yet.
Yeah. But you said it yesterday just about the property. You said there's always something being built. As soon as you're done or even half done, you start something new and you've just added to that list. That course it's the same thing, you know. So
I'm fired up about.
Hey, Alex.
No, I told you I'm not waiting for you to ask me. I'm just going. I'm fired up that the change of pace that we got, but like selfishly that I got. Like I work in the city. It's very hectic and impersonal.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's just going, and you don't stop and really appreciate much. It's just, it's all about what can I get done next? And that's a lot to do that for, extended periods of time. So to come down here and have strangers, every single person we met, whether it was in Walmart or on the road, we did not meet an unkind person while we were here. Everybody made us feel welcome and everybody went out of their way to make sure, mm-hmm. We were good.
Yeah.
Can I start with, in Effingham, we stopped at a Walmart, which was the most pristine Walmart we've ever experienced.
I referred to it as the Apple Store of Walmart.
It was. Yeah. It had like lower drop ceilings. And so it was so quiet. It wasn't like a warehouse and it was so clean. And we were checking out, just getting lunch and stuff. And the person at the checkout, her name was Janice. And she said, you guys here for the eclipse? And I said, yeah, we're going to play some disc golf. And she said, disc golf? What is that? And we tried to explain it to her and she was like, I don't get out much. And she was so sweet. And she was just like having that interaction with people. Like she was genuinely curious and not just like, let's check out next, out, please.
There was no filler. It wasn't a filler.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
And then on the way to the disc golf course, we saw a bunch of cars and there's a golf course adjacent. And there was a golfer that was on a tee and like purposefully made his way to the road from the tee box and kind of flagged us down. And we were like, oh man, what did we do? You know, we're expecting him to say, hey, get out of our town, you know, or whatever, because that's the way we think. And he was just coming to us out of his way to explain to us that here's where we should park. And he's just helping us out. He's just being a good dude.
Stopped us because there might be a chance for him to be helpful.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Blowing my mind. Yeah. So that was just the tip of the iceberg of what was to come.
That's a good way to explain it.
Yeah. So yeah, between sort of that vibe with everybody we've met and then the way you guys have hosted us, we just got to hang out yesterday while you grilled for us. We got to play catch with a frisbee in the field and just stargaze and had nothing to worry about, but just hanging out. It's been such a good pace, like a good change of pace. I'm fired up to feel.
Feels like we have truly gone through a portal. The portal that is the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
Chris took us on an ATV ride around the property. And I appreciate that we all came back and he didn't murder us in that cabin over there.
Well, he had every opportunity to.
He definitely did. We'd never find us.
I was waiting.
Yeah. Yeah. When is this horror film going to turn?
Yeah.
Everything's cool. Horror start. It's too good to be true. Yeah. Someone's going to murder.
Chris and little Alex turn around and they're vampires. And I'm like, oh, here we go.
Finally. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
little Alex is actually 400 years old.
Yeah, right.
And we're all going to die.
Yeah.
Got it.
I think little Alex, AKA Alex Xavier, is the other thing I'm fired up about on this trip. He's been super fun to be around. He's showing us tricks on the scooter.
Sick tricks on
the
scooter.
He's also got the name that I wish I had been born with.
Oof. Too cool.
Alex Xavier, so much cooler than Alexander. So yeah, that's everything I'm fired up about. And I think that's all of us for fired up, which means we can move along to the main topic here.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jason, you were doing something with your fingers that made me think I'm missing something.
Oh, no.
He's just rolling a booger.
I had a hair on my shirt.
He's definitely rolling a booger.
Aaron mentioned the playlist, but we didn't really get into anything that you're fired up about. If you want to take some time to do that.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, this whole thing's karma. You know, the whole talking to Sean and just how karma works. So that's really what, just play it out.
He uses the word all the time, kismet. You do too.
Yes.
I feel like that's that's appropriate.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if we mentioned or not, but it was, you came to the shop last September and it was right after we had gotten back from doing this at Idlewild.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told the story a few times. When you came into the shop, you didn't say anything right away. And I thought you were one of the local Lockport dads or whatever that was walking the trail and wanted to just poke your head in and see what was in the building, because that happens a bunch.
So he could complain at the next board meeting.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. That's what I thought was happening, because you didn't say much. And then right as you were getting ready to leave, I kind of last ditch effort. I was like, you know, just whatever. I had said something to you. And then you came back into the shop and then we hit it off and you had told me the whole story. And I was like, oh man, it's a good thing that I snagged you right before you left. Mm-hmm. And so it was just really cool. Like you said, karma and kismet, that we had just done this concept, and then there you were standing in the doorway for us to come here and do it again is just too cool.
It's crazy to me that everything you guys did for us as hosts came from a little 20-minute conversation, you know, random conversation that you had when you were visiting Delwood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The lengths that you guys went to make us feel welcome, and you just barely knew us. That's what we were talking about it's really cool.
Because if you really knew us, you wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I have blood relatives that had not made me feel as great as you have made me feel in the last 48 hours. Like, legitimately. Yeah.
Yeah. That all listen to this podcast, so that's not going to be awkward
cannot
at all.
Say, cannot say that enough.
Honestly, that's like headline of this, the experience of coming down to play Fox Prairie is like, it's a different pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to come check it out. You got to experience it.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get into all of the things about the Fox Prairie Disc Golf Course.
Nope. Do it again.
We're going to get into all things Fox. Now you got me in my head. Yeah. We're going to get into all the Fox Prairie Disc Golf things here after this quick break.
Hey, Disc Golf family. It's Andrew Weary with Redemption Disposal and Recycling. If you need a dumpster, we are your go-to local contact. Are you getting a new roof, remodeling your house, or doing some landscaping? Maybe you're just looking to get rid of the old junk to make room for your new hyzer racks and disc golf gear. Redemption Disposal standard size dumpsters are large enough for most jobs. The 15-yard dump trailers are on regular tires and hauled by standard pickup trucks, helping avoid any damage to surfaces, allowing for tight maneuvering, and the compact style helps minimize any inconvenience to homeowners. Our convenient and speedy service is unmatched, all at a competitive price. You can find us on Facebook at Redemption Disposal or email admin@redemptiondisposal.com. We look forward to helping you out with your future projects, but until then, we'll see you out on the course.
And we're back.
Hang on. Jesus. Let me push the button first.
It looked like you pushed it.
I did, but I want to confirm. It's fine.
And we're back.
Yep, there we go.
I think, Jason, you were saying a really good place to start bringing listeners into this kind of big conversation is...
Jason, how did you get started playing disc?
Yeah. No. Oh, funny you should ask.
That is a question that Ryan hates, but I love to ask.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask it today.
I knew it was coming.
This is so fair.
I know that, Aaron, you are not much of a... You know, disc golf is relatively new to you. Your brother, Chris, also still insane to me that you guys put a disc golf course in the ground with very little experience as disc golfers. So where does the story really start? Reagan, I think you're probably the right person to...
I have always really enjoyed that park. It was graciously donated to the city and has always just been like some walking trails and paths, but not very well known, or it was maintained, but not to the level it is currently. I loved that park and I wanted more people to be able to enjoy that park and to create a third space for my community. Because I feel like for people, like younger people, we don't have that thing that we get to go and enjoy and do.
Mm. Speaking of young people, how old are you?
I'm 23.
Fresh college grad.
Mm-hmm.
And already thinking about what's best for your community.
Mm-hmm.
Take note, listeners.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of people that talk that talk, but you're out there walking that walk as well.
That's amen.
Pretty mm-hmm. great.
It's easy when I can go to college and say, okay, Dad, build this.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad. And then he's on the hook.
Yeah.
I had this great idea. You know that you've never played disc golf before? Go build a course.
So you played in college and where you went to...
I went to school in Owensboro, Kentucky.
And what's like the big course out there that we might know?
Oh, there's not a ton of big courses, but Yellow Creek is the one that we play mainly.
Okay. So you kind of fell in love with it in college?
I would not say that. I didn't love it. I was actually very angry at it most of the time I was playing.
Hey, welcome
that's
aboard.
The same thing. Yeah. That's the same thing.
That's real disco.
Love, hate.
So you came home and you saw there's a space that might be good for it.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it's really hard to get in touch sometimes with the people who make the decisions about land and then to get them to listen. And, you know, for example, I there's an organization that I'm the founder of called Disc Golf Chicago, and just getting to the right people to talk about getting disc golf courses near the city is like a 6-year ongoing process. And there is not a basket in the ground yet. It is just red tape after red tape after red tape. So to get right to the right people right away, that's completely foreign to a lot of people in our area. Can you just talk to us about like, how did you end up getting the permission to even do this?
I mean, I started working for the city when I was 16 at the pool. I continuously worked at the city until I started college. I was just there one day helping, you know, file paperwork. And I was like, hey, I've got this really great idea. And the mayor is also like an old neighbor. So we know everybody there. Everybody knows everybody. And they were happy that somebody had an idea and was willing to put in the work.
What do you think they liked about the idea? Like the mayor, what attracted him about the idea?
We just took him out there and I was like, I've got this idea. If you'll drive out to the park with us real fast, I'll show you around and kind of show you what we're thinking.
And he just did.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
But the
he
way
was you, like, all right.
The way you kind of packaged it, were you like, this will be good for people, or what were the like things that that he cared about?
Probably the park maintenance a little bit, because they had been looking for an idea for something to do with the park. And that was something that park was donated as like an ecological site. And the disc golf isn't too invasive and will allow for that to remain a natural prairie. And we got a lot of invasive species out of there, and hopefully we'll put in some more.
Yeah.
Not I think more that invasive was, species, but better.
Yeah. One of the attractive parts about putting Delwood in is that it was a park, but there was,
invasive species.
There was invasive species and also
human
like
beings.
invasive human species. Yeah. Right, that were right. there too. But putting in the park preserves the park, but then also allows everyone to enjoy the park and make it a lot safer. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
And when you present it that way, it's a no brainer.
Did they give you a budget to work with, or how, what did all that look like?
Dad might kind of talk about this more, but we fundraised a lot, most of the money. Everybody in the community was willing, most of the businesses in the communities that you'll see, the advertisements for, they all donated. I think there was probably two per hole that have donated and they've got to sign up.
We noticed it right away. On every teapad, we're like, oh, this business. We were thinking about the local businesses that it reminded of us of. But the point is, they're getting some exposure from doing this, these businesses. How did you go about soliciting all these businesses?
Just walked in and said, hey,
yeah,
can we have some money, please? Mm-hmm. And some of them, our neighbors, my aunt. And some of it wasn't just money. It was equipment, time, work that they put in.
Which is as important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody just being on the same page, even just support of, I say all the time that it's amazing when people just start to associate the two words disc and golf. If they do that at the very least, that is like it's support. So it's incredible. But I can't help but think, because I know we haven't talked about this, to give the listeners an idea, McLeansboro, like population wise, I don't even know that number.
2,800. So I think the entire county is 7,800. So there's two stoplights here.
Mm. I did not know that number. And that just like scaled everything. Lockport is at what, 25?
28,000.
28,000 now?
Yep. I just looked it up the other day.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to think of that scale, but to also to be here, I feel like I am in such a massive place at the same time.
Sure.
Like it's small, but huge at the same. I don't know how that is, but that's what I feel.
Because it's not crowded with bullshit.
Yeah, right.
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 Yeah. Well, just to get a tour of the property, like it would have taken us a while to walk this property. We'll say that. So Chris took us for a ride on the Ranger. It was a good 10 or 15 minute ride around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really stop much. I mean, there's a lot of space out here.
Yeah.
When you were kind of soliciting in the conversations with like the mayor or these other businesses or anybody that's involved in the project, was there any like aspirations of this is going to help bring folks out here? Was that part of the conversation?
Absolutely. And like I made a little pamphlet and handed it out to everybody. So even if they didn't give me an automatic yes, they had time to sit on it and look at it. And we gave them the projected budget, the disc golf growth in the area and all the different things that it could bring to the community and how many people might actually play it.
Mm-hmm. Disc golf was just booming, right at the end of COVID. So this was just the stats that you could look up were just kind of mind-boggling on how the sport was growing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you said several times, like, you didn't believe for a second people were going to come here.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was a folly.
Yeah. That is my favorite part of this entire situation. Yeah.
It's like, we're going to build it. Yeah. We don't think it's going to work.
They're not going to come.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I thought, man, this is the last time I'm going to agree to something when I'm drinking, which is wrong. But it'll happen again. But it was, I was thinking, man, we were 16 holes into that golf match when she came up with that idea.
Good timing.
Yeah.
Smart. She knows,
she knows how to play dead.
Yeah. But in the short amount of time we've been here, what, 24 hours less? We met, so we drove 4 hours to get down here. Mm-hmm. We had bumped into somebody from Virginia who came out here to play the course. He wanted to be in the line of totality, but also for him, it was him and his wife super important to also play great disc golf while they're here. So this is the obvious choice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We met, who else did we meet?
Just by happenstance, as we, right after we were behind the people from Virginia, we got to hole one where Crispy and Lauren were. And then I turned around and the owner of U-Disc, Matt Kruger, just happened to be hanging out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Like, talk about a Lauren 11-11 situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he just turned to the group and said, which one is Sean?
And I was like,
someone here is Sean, right? Or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And so we did introductions and just absolutely incredible for him to have been there at that moment. From Minneapolis or Minnesota. I'm not entirely sure exactly where, but definitely Minnesota. And what? Like,
yeah.
That is sure. Just exactly how things happen to us. I don't know why it continues to happen, but it's incredible every single time.
I think it's a good sign that we're on the right path.
Yeah,
I think so.
But it's
so
also
too,
a sign that people are willing to come here from pretty far away.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're still early on in the process.
Yeah. I saw two Wisconsin plates in the parking lot.
Listeners at home, I mean,
people were trucking.
At the shop on a regular basis, we are talking about, you know, guys going up to Wisconsin and playing Rolling Ridge and going to Iowa to play Camden's, and what's the other one that you love so much out there? Flips in Michigan, but
Wildcat
out that way. Going down to Peoria to play Northwood Black, like 1,000%. I cannot, if you trust my opinion, put this course on your list of things to do this spring, summer, fall, because you will not be disappointed.
Yeah.
Quick question. Is there a place to camp anywhere near the course? Like if somebody wanted to make a trip, an experience out of it.
Dolan Lake is a state park that's on the other side of town, but there's camping there. I think there's some primitive camping and some cabin rentals and places for campers. It's a really nice secluded public park.
It's probably a 15-minute drive, but everything is at least a 15-minute drive.
Yeah,
sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. Right. But that's right. That's what you want. You want to come down here for slow down a little bit, settle down. And yeah, I think camping is the way to do it. I will never say no to how our accommodations, the way we got to stay here was 5 stars, but camping would be the other way. I would be, I'd love to do this trip.
Yeah. Well, and then Wren Lake's over. I mean, there's a little course Sandusky at Wren Lake and there's a lot of camping, you know, there's Wren Lake's got everything you need.
Yeah. That's
over
what
there.
Jackie was showing me yesterday on the map and that didn't seem too far. How far away was
it's
that?
25, 30 minute drive.
And that's right there's there. Another course there as well at Sandusky.
Yeah, there's Sandusky, 18-hole course in that park. Yeah. It's a nice course.
Yeah, so camping and another course 30 minutes away. So
yeah,
get your butts down here and check this place out.
And from the greater Chicagoland area, on the way down are a bunch of courses. So you don't just have to drive straight down. I mean, you can hit Peoria. You can hit
exactly.
You know, those courses. But this is going to be the destination.
Right.
100%. They're putting in a new one at Pena. I think they're putting a lot of money in it, too. They're putting a lot of work in it. I've not seen much on it, but I know they're investing a lot in that course.
So given that you weren't necessarily, Reagan, you weren't like in love with disc golf and you had minimal exposure to it, how did you get to building so like the holes that are iconic, like they have all the views, they have the challenges. Where do you draw the inspiration from?
I mean, the pine trees were already there and gorgeous. And if you've seen them, you can't not put something there.
That one was just there for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listeners, if you are listening right now, go and check out hole 9 is one of their iconic holes. It's like Blue Ribbon Pines. It's a lot more fair, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
It's from the blues or from, what is it? From the blues, right?
420.
Yeah. It's 420 feet dead straight, kind of like a tiered basket at the end. And it's absolutely gorgeous. To have that resource there to utilize was perfect.
We all know how I feel about raised baskets.
This was done right.
But that one was done right and felt good and fair. And
I wouldn't say it was raised. It's just on a platform.
Yeah.
Yeah, the basket is at the correct
height. It could
have
easily just been on a hill, but they just made it a lot cooler than a hill.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then on the subject of elevated baskets, the hanging basket, which hole is that?
15.
That is another one that I think was done right, where you have a bit of a death putt there, but it's not so punishing that, you know, we all missed our putts, of course.
I three putted
as well, but it could have been so much, you know, a death putt can be much worse than that.
Yeah.
But that was scenic and challenging. And it's not like a hole that I've ever played before. So again, where do you get the idea to do it that way?
Well, the Punisher's blacksmithed into the back of that one, the bottom of that one. If you're on the backside of it, putting that back up the hill, if you looked at that, the Punisher sitting right there looking at you.
That's so good. That's so good.
What was the idea for that? Or is that just something like you just needed a feature?
The hanging basket?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was to start off with. We kind of started off with a group of five. Reagan came up with the idea. Her and Jackie did a lot of the artistic side of it and stuff. I was kind of just the coordinator. And then Shane, he was really good at everything that had to do with trees, you know, construction, anything like that. And then there was two, Adam Bertner and Logan Hunt. They had played disc golf before, and they were like the only other people I'd ever heard of that had played disc golf. So when we first did it, I called Adam because I'd played a lot of softball with him. I said, hey, we're going to do this thing out in the park, and I know nothing about it. And then it was like an hour-long conversation after that, and he was out there holding a basket above his head, walking through all this crap the whole time, picking out his lines and trying to figure it out. And I was like, yeah, we need to cut these trees down. And he said, you don't touch a tree unless you're told, because this is not a golf course.
Right.
So he was very specific about what we could and could not touch on, though, because I had no clue what lines were.
Okay, so it's clear that there was a crew involved here. It's not just Reagan and Dad. It's Can you tell us like who's involved and what everybody kind of brought to the table?
Well, Shane is an arborist, certified arborist. I don't know all of
and
his.
A journeyman lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that certainly helps.
Yeah. He knows everything about the trees and how to cut them down if we need him to.
And he wants to not cut trees as much as possible.
I'm sure he would cut the trees. Adam does not want him to cut the trees.
Gotcha.
And Adam has played a lot of disc golf. I really don't know ever all of his credentials either, but he knew what he was talking about.
He
way
was
more
the disc golf expert.
He was the mind behind it.
And Logan knew. Logan played a lot of disc golf. Mm-hmm. He traveled around, played a lot of courses, and was kind of active in the locals. Well, he was probably the most active in the locals tournament scene.
And when trees needed to be cut, it was you guys that were doing that workload. It wasn't It wasn't you marking trees in the city, coming out and cutting things down.
No,
it was that crew of people that were.
Yeah, and we have a close enough relationship with the city that they were out there. You know, the director Justin Barrow was out there with us. He's oversees everything, and he was really cool about everything. He's paid attention. If we needed help, he'd say, hey, we need a backhoe. You know, the backhoe was out there. We need this bush hog. The bush hog was out there. And now that it's kind of up and running, you really see those guys taking ownership of it and say, hey, this is.
Of course. Right.
These guys are out there and they're doing, they're kind of going above and beyond, like moving brush piles and stuff we didn't even expect them to do, that they're just out there taking ownership of the course now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's pride in that. Yeah.
If you build it.
Yeah.
Man. But a lot of the work was you and Chris as well, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And you're an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris is an engineer.
And Reagan's an engineer.
And Reagan's an engineer. So you had all the right minds together. It wasn't even a love of disc golf necessarily that brought all this together. It was something else.
Building is kind of, as it's obvious here in this barn, it's kind of our hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still mind-blowing to me that the space that we're in was built by a couple of people, not some big company and crew and crazy.
It just showed up the last eclipse. It just appeared.
Yeah. Boop, boop, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So we've covered the when, the why, and the how. Let's get into the what. Like, what features are you most proud of that when people come out there, you want them to see? Because I will start with pointing out how awesome the use of the spool plates and painting them and having them featured at each hole. You want to talk about something that's Instagrammable. People are going to want to take pictures with those and have them. Was that a thought you had going into it? How did that come about? Because I thought that was very cool.
Okay, since I didn't understand anything about the sport, I spent a lot of time watching tournaments, you know, just YouTube tournaments, and trying to pick out the things. Like, you know, I spent a lot of time looking at Delwood in different places because it was obviously, it was number one in Illinois, and that's what, when you start something, that's what you're shooting for. You know, how do we do that? And of course, and see what they did. And then you watch these tournaments and you see these little things like, that's cool, and that's cool. And those spool ends were from course in Utah, I believe. And I saw those and I'm like, we've got lots of spools. That's the easiest thing in the world to get a hold of.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got painters, Reagan and her friend Kaylee and my wife. So, you know,
just
it was just
took a projector and shot it up there on the spool. Made it real easy.
Yeah.
It's something we talked about while we were out there, is it's cool when a course has things like that that make you know you're at Fox Prairie. Or, you know, when somebody takes a picture at certain courses, you just know that's that place. It's like the signature aesthetic, the signature feel.
Right.
And I think those tee signs were a big part of the experience for us as people who are here for the first time. Yeah. Stopping and taking the pictures, taking the videos.
There's a big difference to me between a personal touch and seeing a personal touch all the way through. And that is one of the things that stood out to me that you go, okay, we don't just have one of those. All it's represented on every hole that this is our shtick. And that to me as like a completist, the way that my brain works is like, yes.
That's called obsessive compulsive.
Yes, sir. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
I know.
I call it a completist, yeah. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Listeners, just so you know, we're in the barn and it's starting to rain outside. So we're starting to hear a little pitter patter on the roof.
Yeah.
So if you start to hear some.
Yeah. I hope a little bit of that noise is actually coming through.
Yeah, I would prefer, actually. It looks like we're going to be fine. But no, I associate hole 12 with the Jawbreaker now because we took a picture of that and he happened to be throwing a Jawbreaker
comet
and held it up with it. And we all took a picture, you know, right. That was the hole before the eclipse. And so that's, I will associate that particular one with hole 12 now. Don't you dare move it. But I think that's part of the allure is, you know, you see a picture and you're like, oh, that's hole 4 because that one is this one and that one. It's perfect.
That was the other thing with those signs and stuff and the painted, the tee pads are all dyed the color they are. So when I did play a couple of courses, that was in, hadn't played much, I'd get there and I didn't know where I was going. And I thought, man, if we put huge signs and painted tee pads, nobody can miss it.
Right? It's pretty that's obvious. Not a pet peeve of ours at all.
No. Yeah, right, right.
Is I not mean, they, figuring the, out where
the holes
to go.
Have, they take on a new personality in a
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Everybody likes the Grateful Dead hole going
it
in.
It gives them life. That's yeah. so such a cool way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's so easy to, what hole was that again that had the, you know, you're thinking, yeah. you're trying to remember the lines or the way you played a certain hole. And instead of just being, oh, it was 17, you can always be, oh, it was the Grateful Dead hole or yeah. it was the Jawbreaker hole. And that's so much more memorable.
Yeah. Yeah.
On that subject, you, without having been in disc golf very long, you considered a lot of the right things, like how to make the course navigable for a new player, how to make sure there's something for everyone.
Navigable?
Three different tee pads on, was every hole have three tee pads?
No, it's six. There's six reds right now.
But there's how many, you probably started out to make 18 holes, and how many are there actually now?
Considering each tee pad. I think somebody said it yesterday.
There's 43 concrete shots you can take, but one of them's a shared tee pad. So there's 42 poured pads. One's the blue and white shared
right
between two holes. So there's 42 shots you can take off concrete tee pads.
It's crazy that you went that hard and that correct on your first shot at doing this.
That's OCD.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we talked about this yesterday too, is it's not overthinking it. It's not playing a ton of disc golf and seeing all the courses and then having in your mind, I can do better and I know what to do and actually not knowing what to do. Mm-hmm. You guys just went out and utilized the land to the best of its ability and like without going too far or too hard or overthinking it. And it shows.
Reagan and Logan had ran cross country out there a lot. So they knew how the course laid. And then Adam was the one that kind of gets the credit for the whole thing just flowing. As you walk through it, it's just like you just bounce from one to the other, and it just and then it's you wind so up at good. 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It flowed well.
You may have answered this. Sorry if I'm making you answer it again, but like, did you have a paper land survey and actually draw it out? Or is it just coincidence that it flows as nicely as it does?
I mean, he does a lot with botany and GIS mapping, and I do GIS mapping and things like that. So we were able to overlay this, brought it in on AutoCAD. You know, Adam brought it in on probably a GIS system and laid it out. And we were.
I think that's the beauty of disc golf course design is that there can be and there is people that charge thousands of dollars to design a course on a private or public property.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or there are people that do it for the first time and 19 months later are still as humble as the day that it began. And the result is still the same. That is so epically cool to me that we can get that. And that's just what makes checking out new courses so much fun.
Hey guys, Jason here. The rain we mentioned earlier started to come down pretty good. So we pulled an audible and stopped recording for about 30 minutes until it blew over. But we're going to get back into it right now.
All right, and we're back. We took a little break because the rain outside kind of amped up. It got a little intense in
it was loud.
A very enjoyable way for us,
yes.
But would not have made for great audio content.
Right.
Yeah. Ryan's got standards, which is great for all of you listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But I put the headphones on and I thought, that just sounds nice. You just hear a little pitter-patter of rain in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can't wait to hear this back later.
Yeah.
Anyways, to use, Chris is on the mic now. And to use your expression, this is when it starts raining, life inside the snare drum.
I like that phrase.
And dropping cats on a hot tin roof.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it's how. Appropriate to have Chris on the mic now because we were going to talk a little bit about how this whole project is a family endeavor. So you've got, talk us through, you know, the family component of this whole project.
Well, I can get that kicked off with the design. Every time we would come up with a design where we needed something, especially like big stones, he has a bit of an affinity for big stones and he's got them laying all over around here. So we would come out here, hey brother, we need rocks. Mm-hmm. So he helped in the landscaping. That, as you can see, that's kind of his specialty.
That makes sense. It's beautiful out here.
Yeah.
And this is your, this is your baby. This whole property is all you.
Yep. It actually is. Anything on this property that was done by the hand of man, you can blame me. It was a cow pasture when I bought it in 1999 and an empty slate.
Something very cool about a blank canvas.
It, yeah.
Including the ponds?
Including that. The first thing I did was the lake out front. So.
Wow.
Yep. Where you pull in the driveway.
Yeah.
That was a cattle lot, a collection place for the cattle. They had some gates and there was no driveway, no nothing.
Yeah.
So the driveway is the driest spot on the hilltop.
Right.
That's where we started driving through the pasture and then eventually poured rock.
And okay, so we've got Chris helping with rocks. Who else?
Well, my wife, Jackie, and she did the signs that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And of course, Reagan and her best friend is an artist. So we did that with the artwork. So it was just, yeah, it was just kind of a family affair. I think me and brother were sitting at the bar up here one night and we were talking about it. And I said, I don't really understand what it is, but it just seems cool. I couldn't really explain it, but I said, whatever we're doing out there is just kind of cool.
It is. And I'm wondering how you kind of think about the way that everybody else in town measures the coolness of it, kind of. How else are people talking about it? Think like, how is it kind of perceived, do you feel, locally? Is it a new thing here in town? What is the perception of it?
When you see all the different out-of-state license plates out there all the time, and then they talk to them at the restaurants, the people that's been playing out there, you know, that word gets around really quick in a small town. You can drive by there and there'll be 12 cars there and four of them will be out of state. You know, that's why else would you drive here?
Yeah.
Well, last night when we were eating all that barbecue, you had a couple other visitors here and I didn't really catch who everybody was necessarily, but I did notice that they were all asking pretty good questions about our experience. They were asking, what'd you think of the pine tree hole? What'd you think of the platform hole? Was everybody that was here last night, are they involved in some way or who?
Lisa's Jackie's sister. So when we did our first tournament, she's a professional photographer. So she came out there just on her own. And of course it was, you know, a hectic day like you guys experienced. Of course, it was our first one. No clue, but she took the time to really get shots from everybody, throwing off tee pads, you know, and it was all these new people in here. And then she posted them all. And, you know, it was just really neat to have all these photographs from that first day documenting everything.
Yeah, she got a picture of me, I remember, and my form was perfect. but it was just one still camera shot. The disc landed out of bounds, and I don't know if I found it, but we'll never know that.
We don't have to talk about
it
that.
Don't matter.
In that moment, that was perfect.
Yeah. So there are several spots where you've obviously made a decision on rock formations and what have you. Like there's a couple baskets where you put a circle of rocks behind them. Obviously you have a knack for landscaping, but when you were deciding that, can you talk about the ones where there was intent put into it and how that intent came about?
I mean, like on the hanging basket, we just needed steps because it you just needed to step up to reach in there.
Yeah, you just need to get there.
And
yeah,
he had these massive limestone blocks that came off the face of a bank somewhere.
Yeah, I bought a couple semi-loads full of limestones. And they came, local town, West Frankfort, Illinois, right down the main strip. It was two building facades out front. And these were structural limestone. It wasn't a veneer, right? So you're talking about 16 inch thick stone. They're huge. Hmm. Not something I pick up and pack around.
And right. stealing some from Delwood. I mean, you see all the stone face, the stones cliffs and stuff like that. So it was nice, like on hole one. And we'll probably do another little stone wall behind that one if we ever put another pin behind it. Mm-hmm. So you'll have two But just the stones, just the landscaping, the stones, you know, looking at Delwood, there's stones everywhere. You know, you've got those stone cliffs and everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's just a really nice touch for.
Well, even on the hanging basket, those limestone, they're not just set there. They're set up like diagonally. I mean, there was intent. There's an obvious care put into where you put things and how you put them instead of just, well, you need to reach the basket. So let's throw these over there and. Let them figure it out. It looks great.
I'm glad you noticed that.
Yeah, I like it.
The topic of the photo where you had perfect form. That could have been.
I don't believe that, but okay. Go ahead.
Hey, for all we know, I saw a disc that had the word ace written on it. You pulled a disc out of your bag yesterday that had the word
out of his man satchel.
Very cool disc golf bag. Yeah. By the way,
thank you. Leather man purse.
Yeah. Can we get the ace story?
It was just all luck. I could make up a really good, cool story. Right on the spot. Yeah. Okay. Well, it was foggy one morning. I couldn't even see the basket, and all of a sudden, this giant bald eagle swooped through and
grabbed your disc,
cleared off the image of the basket, which I threw to try to hit the eagle, missed it, and swish.
Nice. Yeah. It's perfect.
There was a...
I can't believe that happened. Yeah, well, it didn't.
So, and it was my second attempt because the first attempt went off in the weeds. I'm like, I'm not playing that. So I grabbed another disc.
Was that ace at Fox Prairie?
It was on hole number one. Yep.
Oh, nice.
Hole one. Nice.
Very cool.
The very first one.
Oh, perfect.
And I did have my uncle to witness. That was the best part of it.
The story's verified.
He's very competitive. Mm. Killed him.
Aaron, you pointed out yesterday that you might be also envious of that ace.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I have none. And he has two. So yeah.
You're not alone. And you've been only playing for under 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. We got plenty of guys in our local community have been playing for a hell of a lot longer and have the same number of aces. You
know, a lot of people say an ace is a bad shot that got lucky. So you put it under the basket, that's a good shot. Yeah.
I've never heard that. That's
what everybody says when they don't ace.
Right.
I think. Yeah. But
yeah. It's trying to take the credit away.
It's a nice phrase, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the sort of flow of the course and what, for somebody who's never been here before, let's try to give them some visuals. If you were to start at hole, start at hole one, talk us through what you remember, Ryan.
Yeah, so the first, I would say 5 or 6 holes, we played the whites and didn't play the blues, and it was all 200 to 250 and wooded and got to hit your lines or you're going to take a 3 at best. You know, you're not going to get that putt. It was like a mix of what I would think maybe Highland and Standing Rocks and all of those would be, but it was just the perfect amount of disc golf for the non-pro, I think. And I mean pro as in like touring pro. Mm-hmm. You know, local pros I think would have a great time too, but it was challenging and fun and not intimidating and exactly what I would want in a disc golf course.
I kept the camera going a lot in those first 5 holes because I was like, one of us is going to get an ace right here.
Yeah. Oh, there's definitely the option.
There's something to be said about having the beginning of the course. If you're thinking of the 18 holes as an experience, which we all are, right? Having the beginning of the course being like the ability to get warmed up. That's what I felt after those first 6 holes was like, not that any of these were gimmies because they were still short and difficult.
Yeah,
sure. But I was getting warmed up with shots that I was fully capable of before we got to the ones.
Yeah.
And no, we did play a mix of tees, but
we did, yeah.
And by the time we needed to get to those 300 plus foot shots, I was like, okay, I'm feeling warmed up. And I don't know if that was intentional, but I love that about the course.
It may have been, but I think more mentally, it was like, it's not for me like, oh, I need to stretch, but more, I've got a couple birdies now in the bag. Okay, now I can start attacking and I feel good about where I am instead of, you know, hole one at Highland. Yeah. As a lefty, I'm never going to get there. So I'm in the hole as soon as I step on the course, you know, and I have to kind of dig out of it. And this is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
That's such a good insight. I hadn't played in months before we got out here, and it allowed me to warm up physically and mentally before we got to the really special holes.
And there's the practice basket and the practice net up there, too, that gets everybody really seems to like the practice. The practice net gets a lot more use than I thought it would, just so everybody gets their arm loosened up.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Idlewild had that too. And I really like that option because I'm one of those guys, and I'm of the older generation now, which hurts to say, that I'm going to walk out of the car. I'm going to bullshit with the guys for a couple minutes and I'm going to step on hole one and then I'm going to throw. You know, I'm not.
And hope for the best.
Yeah,
I'm not. However it falls, it falls.
Yeah, I'm not spending 15 minutes warming up. I'm not practice putting, and I should do all of those things, but that's just not what the game is for me anymore. But a practice net, I think
it gets used.
Maybe I'd give it a couple rips.
Sure. Whenever we set up a temporary net at a tournament, it always gets used. I always see people doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the only basis for comparison I have is when we threw Idlewild, and there were a couple of points in Idlewild where I was like, where are we right now? Because there was intent put into making certain holes look different than others. Mm-hmm. I never got that feeling playing Fox Prairie. And I mean that in the best way possible. Here's how I felt. And I'm going to be nerdy for a second, but this is just how I perceive things.
Oh, here we go. Mm-hmm.
Level 1-1 of the original Super Mario Brothers, they always say, is the perfect level because it gives you all the information you need for the rest of the game without holding your hand, right? Like,
you'll just figure it out.
There's been so much study done on how that is like a perfect introduction to a game. How I felt on the first five holes was that I was like, that's how it should be. It should be like, you're going to figure this out in the first five holes. So the rest of the game plays as smoothly as you want it to be. And that is honestly how I felt. Is that coincidence, or were you that meticulous in what I want people to feel when they play 1 through 18 at Fox Prairie?
I'm going to say that was probably Adam's intent, you know, with making, and especially since there was nobody played here, you know, there was no disc golfers here, that he really wanted this course to be so friendly to, so many of these kids have started picking it up and playing. Mm-hmm. Well, they go out there and, you know, everything just kind of flows. And like you say, they're not double bogey in the first hole. So you don't, you know, it's like playing golf and you pick up when you're scrambling and you get stuck on the hole par three or par five, you always hate to start on those holes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You start on one of those and then you're looking for the beer cart.
Yeah.
Well, here we go.
Yeah.
I want to come back to that. We'll finish talking through the rest of the course, but I want to come back to that, the concept of new players. Like, this is a relatively new thing in this area. So making sure that it is inclusive so that it has room to grow and for people to fall in love. And like, mm-hmm. we'll come back to that after those first five holes.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the second third of the course was really what I would assume a lot of the Carolinas courses would be. There's soft pine needles. It's very clean. It looks, there's a warm, I don't want to say red, but like there's like a warmth and a certain color of like the ground. I don't know how to explain it, but I always associate that with like Diavolo that we took, that we almost picked, you know, in the Carolinas. And that's someplace I want to be, but the lines were fair. They were not easy, but you could see exactly where you're going and the flow was perfect. And like hole 8 and 9, obviously through the pines, was just a treat.
Oddly enough, that is exactly when I had looked at you after the first six holes and I said, well, we've been through the first six and we played all white tees. And now we are warmed up.
Yeah,
and right. We started playing the reds. You had said that the color felt different.
Yeah,
and that absolutely
that. Yeah.
What it was. We started playing more reds and blues at that point.
Yeah.
For listeners at home, we always refer to white, white, and blue. Whoa. We always refer to the red, white, and blue tees at home. The only difference here at Fox Prairie is that swap the white and red.
Right.
So their shortest tees were whites.
White.
Their mids are reds, mm-hmm. and their longs are blue.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm right there with you. That's that at that seventh hole is when it started to feel like, okay, now we're opening up now and ripping
seven,
on some shots.
Yeah, and then eight we saw, we were going to play white, and then we saw a double Mando through the pines, and we had to play the red tee. And then obviously you got to play the long on hole 9 and try and get all the way down that tunnel, which was so fun. But that's when we started to mix it up and really have fun with it. And then the rest of the course, there's a good mix of open and, you know, you got to air it out, but there's some good OB stakes that they've made. They're not just going to give it to you, which you've mentioned before. Like, you saw the guys cutting the corner on hole 17. So you said, nope, I'm taking that away. Let's put some stakes down. So you got to place mm-hmm. it instead of just strong arming it over that pond and then mm-hmm. just pointing for the basket. Now you can't do that anymore. Thanks a lot. I went OB yesterday.
I was going to say at least half was OB.
I was on my way to birdieing that hole and ended up taking a 7 because my third shot was shanked into the OB, but I mean, perfectly placed. Like, I wouldn't change a thing on where those OB posts were at.
They narrow down just so perfectly.
It was an illusion from the tee. I was trying to figure out, I knew that it bent to the right because you could see the pin, but it was like trying to figure out which posts were in the foreground and the background. And then once it locked in, I was like, oh, I see what we have to do here now. And it just, the second shot was a lot of fun to be able to like clip the corner of the, you know, take the risky shot of throwing it over the OB as a righty player and still landing center,
trying to get
cut
in bounds, but trying to bite off as much as you can chew.
Yeah. 17 was absolutely my favorite hole.
Yeah.
Same. The thing you're describing though is my favorite thing about Fox Prairie so far is that the thinking, like you had options on pretty much every hole. And that's my favorite part of disc golf is figuring out how I'm going to do this.
Right.
Even in the spots where I had to scramble, it was all stuff I could scramble out of. And I had a lot of options to scramble out. And it was like, when I kicked into the trees a few times that I did, I was like,
Ooh,
I got a little game I got to figure out how to play.
The rough is still fair as it should be.
We talk about that all the time. Like we just played a course down near Northwood Black and Peoria called McNaughton. And we played it and it's not so grown in at this moment because it's early. But once it gets grown in, if you are off the fairway by 2 feet, you're going to take one or two extra just to get out of that. And that seems ridiculous to us. But you're off the fairway here. You take your medicine and you get back out and you can try and score again.
Yeah. Almost all my drives end up in the shit, but I left with every disc I brought in. Like I felt like there was consideration even put into that. For those beginners that might end up there where I was, you're still going to have a good day. You're not going to be pissed that you spent $18 on a disc that you're never going to see again. You know, like those kind of considerations I love as a beginner.
17, the big platform. Was that something that you have seen elsewhere or where did that come from?
No, that was when we saw when Adam talked about wanting to put the tee pad behind the pond, just and the pond's there. It's really not, it's more just to kind of get in your head. It's kind of like hitting a golf ball over water. Sure. You're going to hit the water if you see the water just because it's there.
Sure.
You know, it just draws everything into it. But as soon as he saw that, he said, I want a huge pile of dirt right there. I'm like, oh Lord, here we go. So that's, and it just grew from there. The huge pile of dirt turned into essentially the canopy and then the, you know, the big tee pad on the top that plays two directions. And it just kind of, as you, the more work you did on it, the more it just kind of grew.
It's so pretty. And it's got the big flag up on top. So I got a cool slow motion shot of the flag flapping and just the blue sky. It was just very cinematic walking up to that hole. And then you stand up there and you look out across the water and you see the fairways is just shaped so nicely. I was never afraid of going in the water, but I was afraid of not looking as cool as I could have. Like, it's such an opportunity to look cool and to feel cool playing disc golf.
Yeah.
That was like my only, the only thing in my head was, this looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's going to feel amazing.
Yeah.
Here we go.
My goal was to make myself look like Chris did in the photo with his form.
Perfect form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 17 with the flag, that was the sponsor of that hole was a veteran-owned restaurant there deep south. So it's got the Back to Blue sign on it. Mm-hmm. The Legion sponsored the hole. We even talked about, you know, if people wanted to sponsor a little bit, that you could put your, you know, your infantry number if you wanted to sign. That's just kind of our veterans hole.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Yeah.
Well, that's a great idea. Kind of how that kind of grew out.
To me, that's really cool because it's another indication of how the whole community is involved in this to an extent. I think disc golf is good for bringing people together and building community. When I think of what the community of Delwood looks like today compared to a year or two after you built it, like the evolution is so, like, you probably can't even put it into words necessarily.
Yeah.
When you guys think about what Fox Prairie and the community around it could look like 10 years from now, have you considered that? And if so, what is that? What do you kind of hope it looks like?
I mean, there's a lot of things we want to do, but really the what I want it to look like is what we're seeing now. You know, I get to go out there and throw with my brother. I got to play with my family Sunday morning. It's just more of that. It's just, if we hadn't done that work, we wouldn't be out there together. We'd be building something here probably, but
yeah.
But it's just that time you get to spend out there.
Reagan, you want to hop back on? When I think about the future of it, I think about the clubs that will pop up. Because right now, I don't know how many local clubs you have, but when you have a course that kind of brings everyone together, you'll start to see more people wanting to own things, wanting to do things. And I think inevitably that means new tournaments, new tournament organizers, clubs, and just people who want to do something around it. Have you started to see any of that yet?
Yeah. I mean, like one of the tournament directors, he's from about 45 minutes north of here. I say we didn't have any disc golf here. When I say that, I'm talking a 20-minute radius around McLeansboro. Sure. There was actually a disc golf community. Of course, I didn't know any of them, but I do now. And they really merged into here, give us a lot of ideas, a lot of input. Their Spider House disc golf course, it's a little par three in a guy's yard. He's got a van they bring over and they sell discs out of it. And they've been very supportive of the course, you know, and without that, I wouldn't have met those people. And all these, once they saw the course and these guys would come down and walk it with us before the baskets were set. You know, we were throwing at stakes.
Sure.
And saying, what do you guys see? Mm-hmm. You know, right. And those, that 30 to 45 minute drive, those people that came in were very passionate. A lot of them had lived California, North Carolina, other places. So they were mm-hmm. bringing all our knowledge in from other places. Matlock from Spider House, I think he was from Colorado. So they were bringing that knowledge into here. All you got to do is listen sometimes.
And even the organizations that have donated to us are now able to hold fundraisers there and tournaments on like their own.
You see it all the time with golf. You're starting to see it with disc golf now. I remember the American Camp Association of Illinois had reached out to us sometime in the last year or two and said, I'm sick of doing golf fundraisers, but we would like to get into disc golf fundraisers. Taps into a different audience a little bit. It's a more of a unique experience and probably mm-hmm. not as expensive to put together.
I was just going to say that the entry overall is so much lower and you can afford to have so many more people and still raise the same amount of funds without having the startup costs be, you know, $150 a team for greens fees or, you know, captain and crew, you're spending $250, right. You know, a tournament that doesn't exist in disc golf. So the entry level costs are mm-hmm. so much lower.
And there's something to be said too about the idea of the community doesn't necessarily have to be consistent. I think of the Roland Ridges. I think of these sandy points where I'm actually only there for 6 days, but I absolutely feel as if I am a part of what we would call the community of a place that's 6 hours away from my house.
Yeah.
And I think that that is what I would think would happen out here where we're a little bit further away from a large population area, that the community is the people that make the annual trips, and there's just more and more and more of those that are mm-hmm. happening.
Sure.
Where I'm sure I'll be back, you know, and I think that we will maintain the friendship. And I foresee that happening with so many more groups of people, just like we have a shout out to Stephen and Joey at home, who have made their own Sandy Point trip out of our Sandy Point trip.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that happens at home. Mm-hmm. We're going to, you know, say, hey, you guys got to get out to Fox Prairie, and people will. And then the next thing you know, the community is from a 6 hour radius instead of a 30 minute radius, mm-hmm. you know, and I love that idea.
The fundraisers that you had mentioned, has that already happened or is it an idea that somebody's brought up?
Some of them have already happened. Like there was a fundraiser for our high school band or for the Rotary Club.
And it was a disc golf event?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a Rotary tournament in May.
Yeah, I didn't know if it had happened or if it was coming up.
Do you have an ultimate dream, an event or anything like that at the course?
I don't really. I mean, I'm the guys, the TDs and those, the guys that play a lot of the tournaments do, you know, I mean, they see it. That's not my end of the course. I'm more of what I want to see is like parking lots, the restrooms. You know, we've got a really good relationship with the golf course beside us, you know, being able to, we're going to put a sign up there that the concessions and the restrooms are available at the golf course because most people don't know that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and really support those two organizations side by side.
Mm-hmm.
And if we ever needed to, we could utilize the golf course for a big tournament. If somebody had a big, we could add 9 holes on the golf course and do a 27 hole setup.
Somebody must be talking about big tournament 27 holes.
I mean, everybody's dreaming. I want to do it, but where we play like 18 on one and 18 on the other, and you just combine the scores. You know, you play disc golf and you play ball golf, and then it's a combined score tournament.
There is a tournament like that in our area. Is it tri golf? Is that what they call it?
All golf.
It's Hoppy.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guys.
You play around a disc golf,
ball golf,
and then mini golf.
Yeah. Yeah. The all golf challenge, I think they call it.
I know there's green jackets involved for the winners.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what, sure. guys? You got to put a mini golf course in now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Piece of cake.
Yeah.
Yep. Chris?
Yep. Mini golf.
We need rocks.
Yeah. Oh,
we
need rocks.
Reagan, what about you? I know you started doing this as another thing you could do with your family, and it's good for the community, but do you have any hopes for what it could be?
I really just hope it stays like our nice little sanctuary. Like, it's so close to town, and town's not even that big, but it's very secluded, very private. And I hope it just gets to stay that way.
Amen to that.
Yeah. And we've got local neighbors that, I mean, walk that course constantly, and they're just going on and on about, you know, one lady, she may drop 6 miles a day out there, but the walkers that walk that, you know, they're just so, the neighbors really appreciate it because it's not, you know, you don't have a lot of noise. You don't have, you know, it's kind of a peaceful group that shows up. So everybody gets along, but they really appreciated the park across the road from them, turning into something.
It's also a little bit more of an interesting place to walk than just a field. You've got you've got art that you're coming across while you're out there. You've got different people you might come across, like
stories.
Yeah, you'll have you could have a little bit of a unique experience each time you walk through.
Mm-hmm. You should have local artists put up like statues and sculptures and stuff out there.
That's what brothers talked about, you know, really working the.
Jason's been looking for someone to commission like he wants to do a full nude sculpture
of himself.
Yeah, obviously.
On hole 18, if you're looking for a place.
We've petitioned against it, but
we'll see. I just need two big rocks from you. You'll figure out where those go. No issues there.
All right. I think that might be a good place for us to start wrapping this episode up. Anybody else you guys might want to shout out before we get out of here? Anybody that's helped a bit, you know, individual contributors or businesses or anything like that?
I mean, you guys stepped up and kind of followed us in here. It's just an honor to have people like Delwood sitting here with us. It's kind of amazing. I mean, it just gives you the, do I want to go out there and do that? You know, do whatever the work is tomorrow. But yeah, I do now.
Wow. You're going to make me blush, man.
That's really cool.
And obviously Adam and Shane and Logan.
Yeah.
I mean, and everybody that's putting work out there, you know, you'll see people walking around, just picking up a stick, throwing it at the side of the road. The city is putting in so much work out there that we really appreciate.
I think the thing I love the most about it is that it's not to see everybody come together to contribute to make something happen. Not because it's a way to put extra money in anybody's pocket. It's a way to give the community something to do and make it a nicer place to live. Literally, it's everybody just saying, hey, let's make this nice thing happen together.
God, why can't we just all do that all the time?
Why can't we all
do that? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense.
That's what we're going to call this episode. Why doesn't everybody do what you're doing?
Because we have more skills in building the construction side of courses and the lines than the marketing is not necessarily. It's definitely not my strength. So, I mean, understanding how to market the course and get the word out. Logan does that well with UDisc and Facebook. And
sure. Really. Yeah.
But that's a whole nother realm.
Well, it might take longer than if you had a team of marketing people. But the good news is when you're doing things the right way, like you guys are, you don't need to, like, it'll just happen the right. It'll happen organically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, these guys don't know it yet, but I've already started building in my mind what it's going to look like for us to come down here and run that tournament for you and bring everybody from 4.5 hours away and get the community from down here together. That would just be super fun. So I'm already thinking about that.
And obviously, you've already roped me into it without asking. Well, you're already,
yeah, exactly.
Yep.
You're in.
Yeah.
I already know you're in.
I'm already in. That's
I'm
right.
Yeah. Down to shoot the video.
Yep.
You got it.
Yeah. And I'm down to awkwardly stand on the side and watch it all happen.
Yeah.
Nude.
Not naked. Nude. No, please don't.
How am I going to pose for the statue?
While being chiseled into stone.
Okay. It's fine. We'll do it. Don't worry.
On that note, thank you guys for having us down here. You were incredible hosts. Listeners, make sure you get down here.
Yeah.
Check this place out.
Just show up at their barn. Just hop in. Stay the night.
And they'll put you up for the night.
They don't even care.
Unbelievable.
Until next time, guys, keep it on the fairway.
Yeah, I'll be good now.
See you.
Unstable Discourse is produced by Sheila Callahan. Edited by Ryan Fancher. Beats provided by Alex Seminary. And produced in association with Unstable Disc Golf Gear. Look good, feel good, play good.
Unstable Discourse is a Top Secret Studios production. You already know.
Thank you.
she got a picture of me, I remember, and my form was perfect.